Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, this is Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs. I'm excited to announce that my show, The Compound, is now part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Join me and my teammates Dakota Mekas and Zach Short. This week, we welcome Cubs first baseman, World Series champion Anthony Rizzo to The Compound. Check it out. Subscribe. The Compound on the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
Hello, Fangirl Nation. You are listening to Fangirl Sports Network's Get My Job on Blue Wire. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and today we have a fantastic guest, an NFL Network digital content editor and brand new mom, Lakeisha Wessling. Lakeisha talks about the powerful video from NFL players and the NFL's response, and why uncomfortable conversations are integral to learning, listening, and healing. She also stresses the importance of being your authentic self, finding people who can teach you and give you guidance, and so, so much more. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes and to follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. And with that, let's get to it. Lakeisha, thank you so much for joining me this morning for Get My Job. I know you have a 4-week-old, and so taking the time to do this is much appreciated.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me. It's a nice change of pace. No baby talk.
Well, absolutely. Though, if you do ever want to talk about the baby during this podcast, we are happy to listen.
Yes, because yes.
We are big fans of babies at Get My Job. But I will jump right in and ask you first and foremost, if you can give our listeners an overview of your responsibilities as digital content editor at NFL Network, because it's a title we hear a lot, but I'm not sure that everybody totally knows what that means.
Trust me, there's a lot of times where people are like, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know exactly what that is. So I don't mind describing it at all. My biggest role is copy editing a lot of the stories on our website. So if you go to NFL.com or if you have the NFL app, the stories that you see there are ones that I copy edit to make sure is grammatically correct and post on our website. If there's any developing breaking news, we send out push alerts that you'll get if you have our app. And sometimes in different situations, I'll write like a short story depending on what the breaking news or developing news is. And sometimes if it's, you know, a weekend or evening that I'm there and it's just me and some news happens, then sometimes I'll have to write stories too. We have a handful of writers, so they'll, you know, send in stories and I'll go through and make sure, you know, there's no errors and post them on our website. And also tweet out on our NFL, handle, which is around the NFL. So any news stories that you see on NFL.com or on our app, that is my department. And we're just basically scrolling through Twitter, different press conferences from coaches, general managers, players. We're listening to all the press conferences to make sure, you know, if there's anything newsworthy that we post those stories on our website. We also work with our insiders like Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo to see, you know, what scoop that they have to make sure we have that information and story on our website. So basically just making sure that NFL fans have the latest news that's around the league.
Fantastic. That sounds like a lot. There's a lot of things that you're doing.
Always something going on. When you think there's no news, there'll be, you know, some off-season stupid story of someone getting, you know, arrested or something. You're just like, what? Like the news never stops. When you think it stops, that's when something's going to happen.
People say to me a lot, what do you do during the off-season? And I'm like, there's really not an off-season.
No. They think that too. And I'm just like, no, there's always something going on.
Yeah. Always, always something going on. So that sounds like it keeps you very busy.
Oh, yes.
I want to talk a little bit about your start in television. But actually before we get there, because you did talk about breaking news and what you do on the website, I would like to also talk about recently, the NFL players video, which was very powerful. Mm-hmm. That asked the NFL for some very specific apologies. And then the NFL's response from Roger Goodell, which I think may have been surprising to a lot of people, but I thought was fantastic and an excellent start to conversations that probably should have happened some time back. I just wanted to get you know, your thoughts on that and, you know, how, if at all involved you were in getting, you know, any of those things up and running, and just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that with our current climate.
I was not involved in getting any of that up because I am still on maternity leave. So basically I've been kind of like a fan throughout it all. You know, I got the information on my phone like everyone else. And when I saw the video with the players, I was like, wow, like my first thought is like, wait a minute, like how did this all come together? Like, because I hadn't seen anything like this, because usually, you know, somebody will post something on their own, but to get a group of, you know, big names around the league to come together to, you know, make this statement that was so powerful. I was impressed and excited and proud that, you know, players were using their platform and their voices to get this message out. And then with the reaction with Goodell, I was, you know, one, proud to, you know, say that I work for the NFL, because I thought it was great that, you know, he was able to come out and say that, you know, the league made a mistake with them saying, you know, not to, you know, kneel during the anthem. So I was very happy with Goodell being able to say that he made a mistake.
I think a lot of us were. I really think it was a really an excellent start, like I said, to a conversation and to seeing some change in the league. So
And especially being the African American when all this was going on, when Kaepernick, you know, was in the league, it, you know, it makes you feel kind of a, you know, a different way, because this is something that I would be, you know, for around the league, and to hear that, you know, certain people and teams weren't able to like do certain things and not, you know, to have their voices heard kind of touches you the wrong way. And you hear people, you know, wanting to, you know, protest the league and all these different sides and stuff. So it makes you in a very uncomfortable situation when that's where you work.
Yes, I can imagine. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on that. I appreciate that. This is obviously something we've been talking about quite a bit over the last several weeks, and we'll be talking about for a long time, and should be. Pretty much we should be talking about it every day and doing work on it every day. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that. So we're going to get back a little bit to your background and then come back around to this topic. Like I said, you started in television. When did you make that switch and why?
I started out in, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. So I started off at a local station there, and I was a broadcast assistant where, you know, you're just running the teleprompter, getting the scripts ready for the anchors and stuff. And there was a downtime where I was really bored. So I started writing for our website, and it just so happens that a position became available. So I slid into that role. So the role that I'm doing right now is kind of how I started in this whole field. And then I transitioned to TV reporter, TV producer. But it was local news, and sports is my passion, especially football. And whenever I heard that, you know, the NFL Network is out in LA, that's when I was like, whoa, like that's my dream. I want to work for the NFL. Like that would be awesome. So I just, you know, applied for whatever job that I was qualified for. And it just so happens that a website position became available. So I kind of took a step back into what I started doing in this business, just to kind of get my foot in the door. But I'm still, as of now, still doing that same position, but there's different opportunities that are becoming available. So I hope to transition back to the TV side, whether it's, you know, producing packages or in front of the camera, whichever it shall be.
And this brings up something that we talk about on the pod that I'd love for you just to talk about. How helpful is it that you have experience in all of these different areas? So should an opportunity come up, you can always have the ability to say, yep, I can do that.
That is one that when people ask me for advice or certain things, I say, learn as much as you can, learn so many different positions, because that only makes you more valuable. Whenever I was working at KTVI in St. Louis, a different station than the one that I started at, there was an opportunity to produce TV because I was just on the website, and there was someone on the maternity leave, someone that was in, that was hurt or whatever. So they were extremely swamped with needing help. So I went to my news director and I'm like, hey, if you guys, you know, teach me how, you know, I'll produce the show. And they did. And that just was another, another thing that I could do that just made me even more valuable because I had the web experience and I had the TV experience and I had the TV producing experience that it's just, I can't talk about it enough, like how important it is to be able to know. Whenever I was on air back in St. Louis, I knew how to, I had to shoot my own packages. I had to edit my own things. So it's just, again, the more that you know, the more that you are valuable with your company. Social media, like all of that stuff. You have to know it all.
We talk about that on this pod a lot because this pod is, you know, we talk about careers and obstacles and advice, and that's something that comes up often. And I think we can't drive it home enough. The more you know, the more you can do, the more prepared you are, the better off you're always going to be.
The times are just different. Like when I started in the business, the anchors and reporters, they're, you know, used to doing things one way. And then as, you know, society changes and whatnot, they had to start learning how to, you know, edit their own stuff, shoot their own stuff. And it's just, that's just how the business has evolved. Like you just have to be able to do more.
The more you know. That's our, that's really
the more you know.
The more you know, it's a great, that catchphrase really makes sense in a lot of ways. So if you could also talk about NFL Uncorked, which I love because you've married two of maybe my favorite things, wine and football. but I would love for you to talk a little bit about how you started out with doing that and the inspiration behind it and kind of plans you have for it in the future.
I started that out because like I said, I did have a broadcast experience and I didn't want to like forget how to edit, forget what it's like to be in front of a camera. I didn't want to lose any of those skills. So I decided like, hey, like I love nowadays where us as women, like we have so many platforms that you don't even have to be working for a station. If you want to have a blog, if you want to do YouTube, if you want to, you know, post your stuff on social media, like you have a platform. So I decided that, you know what, I'll do a little something on YouTube so I can kind of keep editing, keep my experience of being in front of the camera. And I wanted to talk football, and I'm a girl that loves a glass of wine. So I decided like, hey, there's so many girls that I work with that are dope. Like I'll try to have them on from time to time, just talking about, you know, their experiences getting into this business, how it is being in this field as a woman. I also talk about, you know, what's the latest, you know, stories for women that, let's say, football isn't your favorite sport, but you want to know more about it and want to be like up to date with everything that's going on. I would talk about, you know, the top five stories that are going on for that week. I also would talk about, I love doing the outfits before game day on Sunday, talking about who's a hit or a miss, because sometimes there's some great style and then sometimes these guys go a little bit too far out of the box for me. So I can have a little fun with that. But that's basically it. Just something just to have fun and to kind of keep honing my skills of the TV side.
Well, it makes sense that we've been following each other on Twitter now for a while because we are very much on the same page about all of that. So very, very fangirl friendly. We're very into it.
Yes, I love your guys' work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we've been having fun with it. But I saw NFL on court and I was like, this makes sense. This really does.
Well, because if Kathy Lee and like Hoda can drink, like why can't other people in their job combine the two?
You know what? I think that's totally fair. And they did it on Mad Men. And I know that was a TV show, but you know that that's exactly what was happening in real life as well.
A glass of wine gets people loose sometimes and makes it more fun. So
I think that's very true. It's funny you brought up Kathy Lee and Hoda. I'm a big fan of theirs. I have a mug. I actually have a Kathy Lee and Hoda mug.
Get out of here.
I don't know how many of us there are. Mugs, and I love it. And this is not to totally take us off track, but because you brought it up, I got to go several years ago to be there when they recorded one day. And I was so excited. Talk about like kid in a candy store. I was very excited about that. So that was pretty fun.
No, seriously, I love them. I'm just like, I don't know how they made this happen, but I'm like, that's the type of job that I would like, just sitting up there talking with my girlfriend, having a glass of wine, and just, that just sounds like heaven.
at 10 a.m. no less.
That yes. The cool part of it. Yes. It's just 5 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly. 100%. Words to live by, especially in quarantine. I think a lot of people have been living by those words. Exactly.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Seemed to be a thing for sure. So you talked about knowing how to do a number of different things and being prepared. And as we joked about, obviously, the more you know, I want to take you back a little bit in your career and ask, is there a criticism that you received early on, whether it was not being prepared enough, not knowing enough, or something completely unrelated, that while it was tough to take, really helped to shape your future?
The best advice that I've gotten, kind of like criticism, was back when I was a broadcast assistant at my first station in St. Louis, KMOV. I went out with reporters and had a little reel put together that I would send out to news stations and stuff. And the general manager at KMOV, the one that I was working at, I had him look at my tape, and the criticism that he gave me, which I still think about today, was whenever he was watching it, he would tell me, don't try to be like other people or who you see or what you think that they do on air. Don't be like them. Just be yourself. And I use that today because the video that he saw, like, you know, I was trying to, you know, be what I thought a reporter should look like. And then there was another portion where I was just having fun doing this video in Target, trying to do like the look for less with the Reese Witherspoon picture. And I was just being my normal, fun, goofy self. And he was like, no, like that. I like that. And this was like a guy that was in his like 60s, maybe even 70s. And he's like, no, like that wild, fun, crazy person, like that's what I'm drawn to. Don't try to be like anybody else. Like yourself is enough. So just be you.
And I think that's really important advice, and advice that really rings true, especially today in the world of social media, in the 24-hour news cycle. We're just inundated with so many different people and personalities and ways of doing things. And sometimes it sounds like, yeah, everybody says be yourself, but be yourself. It really, there's no other you. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but that's what's going to make you different and make you succeed.
No, because even when I was thinking of the YouTube stuff, I'm like, there's so many people that are doing this and that. And it's just like, you know, should I even do anything? And it's like, just because it's me, it'll be different. So like, don't feel intimidated because, you know, there's someone's doing this or that, like, you're you, like no one's going to be you. So you're going to automatically bring something different just by being yourself.
I think that just is excellent advice. And I feel like we can't repeat it enough, especially to young girls that are listening and want to be in sports, because people, you know, call me for advice and say, well, I really want to be the next Erin Andrews. I want to be the next so-and-so. And you can't be. That's them. So I want to be the next Katie Nolan. And each of those women are incredible and have done incredible work, but you got to be you. And, you know, I always say to people, I know it sounds cheesy, but it's like the best advice I could give you. Be prepared, learn as much as you can, and be who you are.
Yep. Be your authentic self.
Be your authentic self. That's fantastic. I'm writing that down. People who listen to this every week know that I am always writing down amazing nuggets from our guests. And so that one just got written down. I love that. Yeah. Be your authentic self. But it's such an important one. And I just think especially right now with everything we see, with all that we're inundated with, like I said, with content personalities, be you, because it's what will make you different.
Yep.
We are going to take a very, very quick break to hear from our sponsor, and then we will be right back. They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com. Okay, Lakeisha. So last week you tweeted that when you and your husband first started dating, you immediately had conversations about race and your potential future together. In the wake of what's happening today and with having a brand newborn 4-week-old baby, which I still can't believe you have a 4-week-old and you're doing this podcast, which is so just going to say it one more time because I think it's amazing.
He hasn't cried. I fed him before this, so he's doing good. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Good. And his name is his name Link?
His name is Link, short for Lincoln, Rue Wesling.
Oh, I mean, what a great name.
And don't even get me started on how long that took to, Boy names are so hard, and me and my husband butted heads all the time. And this actually was one of the first names that I liked. And whenever my husband saw him, he was like, whoa, he really does look like a Link. And I'm like, dude, you gotta be kidding me. We went through all this like work trying to figure out a name, because it literally took us until the day before we left the hospital to like get it completely nailed down with the middle name and everything.
That's so funny. Well, it's like always go with your gut. They say in SATs and any tests, like go with your first thought. Well, the same for, is true for baby names.
Yes.
Go for the first thought. Yes. So with all of that being said, how do you guys continue to navigate these conversations with each other?
I will say this at first, because whenever I did tweet that, people were wondering like, whoa, like that's a kind of a strange conversation to have like on your first date. People forget that we worked together and we played softball together. So we were close friends by the time we started dating. And whenever we started dating, we're both just like, you know, putting all of our cards on the table. And that was one of the things that was definitely something that I wanted to discuss, because I've dated outside my race in the past, but now that I was older and I'm looking, you know, to spend the rest of my life with someone, I hadn't dated outside my race in a while. So that was one thing that I definitely wanted to talk about, because around the time I left St. Louis, the, you know, Ferguson shooting happened, and it just kind of opened up wounds from where I'm from. And you could see like how people think and their thoughts, and it just makes you really wake up, because people that, you know, you thought were, you know, close friends, and they have like this certain reaction, and it's just like, okay, as African-American woman, like you have to try to explain to them like, okay, well, this is why this person does this, this is why they're afraid to do that. So whenever I thought about, you know, spending the rest of my life with someone, I wanted to make sure that that person, you know, knew about, you know, social injustice, like issues that's going on in this world, because if we were to have a kid, because of how society is, you know, one drop, they will see your child as black. So I wanted to make sure, like, if a person outside my race had a child with me, that they would know, like, about these certain issues that are going on, and know why I would feel a certain way, or why your, you know, son or daughter might feel a certain way. And that's one thing that I love about Chris. He's very, you know, educates himself, like he's reading information all the time to know, and we're able to have conversations. If we didn't have a newborn right now, we both would be out there, you know, protesting. And I love that that's the type of man that I married, and that's the type of dad that, you know, my son has, that he's able to understand. He may not be able to know exactly what it feels like to be in these certain situations, but he has empathy to, you know, want to know more information and learn and have the compassion, and he understands it.
You brought up, I think, two, you know, very important words, empathy and education. And actually I'm going to go with the third important word, understanding. And I think right now that's what's so important for all of us who are learning and educating ourselves about these times, even if you can't 100% know, because you haven't been in these situations, it's okay to admit that. Educate yourself and have the empathy and try to get as much understanding as possible.
Yeah, just listening and finding people that, you know, don't look like you, and, you know, talking about it, because I know a lot of people back home, like they'll have conversations with their family and stuff. And it's just like, no, like bring somebody in that has a different point of view so you can see where they're coming from. And I just think that you just got to be able to, like, you know, look outside your little bubble and shell and just be able to have compassion for other people.
Compassion is another really important word. And I think one that we need more of, and that especially in these times, we need to really be as compassionate as possible. So, but you talked about people back home, whether it be friends or family, having these conversations. How do you navigate those conversations with your family, friends, and coworkers, especially those who do want to understand and want to learn, even if they don't right now?
If they have a question, like, talk about it. Like, I never want people to feel like they can't, you know, ask me certain questions or talk about things. I know that, you know, talking about race is uncomfortable, but hey, like, that's how you have to talk about the uncomfortable things to be able to heal and to, you know, find solutions for these outcomes. So whenever, you know, I get text messages or, you know, a Facebook message and stuff wondering, you know, why this is a certain way or why these people are protesting or why in this, I just educate. Like, I post so much stuff, like, even if it's not even me, like, talking or responding back to a text, like, if it's, you know, a picture or a video or just any type of information to, like, just teach people and to show them, like, no, this is the type of stuff that's going on, because you don't know, you fear what you don't know. So I think that is another reason why people are so uncomfortable to talk about race.
That was an important point. You fear what you don't know. And how important really is it for people to just admit that and to say, yeah, you know what, I'm scared because I just don't understand and I want to do better. But I think also sometimes we're afraid to admit that, but, you know, I don't see anything wrong with admitting that.
Hey, sometimes you know, you just gotta talk to other people. Like, that's so huge. And I feel like a lot of that's going on right now because of COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of people don't have where they can, you know, go to brunch or do this and that. Like, everyone's sitting at home and, you know, you're able to talk about these things. And I think that is a good thing that's going on right now, because the world is kind of stopped where people have to stop and, like, you know, listen to each other, especially with no, like, sports going on right now. We don't have the distraction, and this is at the forefront.
Sorry, I was writing again.
Sorry.
don't be sorry at all. There's no reason to apologize. I'm sorry. It took me, I mean, I didn't want to think that you lost me, but I just wrote down the stop and listen to each other, because it seems like, of course, that's what you need to do, but we don't always do it. We're
always distracted by something. Something on TV, something on our phones, just, you know, people's lives are busy, but right now it's just, we don't have the time to, you know, be as busy as we normally are. Like, it's at a standstill. So
stopping and listening. This is a big one. Listening is a big word. We don't always do that in our society, and we don't always want to hear an opinion that's different than ours. And I think listening is so important. It goes back to the more you know. And I think that really is true.
Yes. And if you are only surrounding yourself with people that have the same point of view as you, like, what boring life is that? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want someone to challenge your thinking.
But it's unfortunate, because I think we do very much live in a world now that if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. And mm-hmm. I don't even want to talk about it. And I don't think that that's healthy on a lot of levels. So I do think that's changing. I hope it's changing. We're seeing a lot of uncomfortable conversations happen, but important conversations. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you have to talk about the uncomfortable things to heal and learn, and to not be afraid to do that. Kind of a little bit in this vein, but not, but sort of. So how do you like that for an intro to your next question?
I love it.
A little bit in this vein, but not, but sort of. But is talking about an experience that you were excited about that didn't work out, that potentially did lead to uncomfortable conversations of a different sort, but what you were able to learn from that and take with you into your next thing?
I will go back to trying to get a job at the NFL Network. My first interview was in 2012, and it was, you know, We were talking by email, then we were doing phone interviews, and then we were Skype interviews. I was talking with so many people. And this first started on April 1st. And I remember that day because, you know, my mom thought I was pulling a prank. I'm like, no, NFL Network, email me. I got an interview. So I remember that date. And it took from April to about December to find out that I didn't get the position. And just, you know, the up and down of emotion of, you know, getting so close to getting, you know, my dream job out there was one that was like, okay, all right, it didn't work out. What do I do next? And I just kept going from 2012 to I finally got hired by them in 2015. So that was a situation where I could have been like, oh, you know, well, it didn't happen. It was like, no, okay, I talked to this person, so now I have that name. Like, what more can I do? Is there another position? Even with the people that I interviewed, I would, you know, every few months reach out to them, you know, with my updated resume, seeing if there was any positions available, and just constantly keep going until finally in 2015, a position was offered for me, and I made the move halfway across the country.
And here we are. Here we are today to talk about it.
Here we are today. And the funny thing is the guy that hired me, Greg Rosenthal, actually hired my husband too. So talk about a small world and everything happening for a reason.
Yeah, written in the stars.
Yes.
Not to get super woo-woo, but written in the stars. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And I think important, I mean, that's a few years there between 2012 and 2015.
Oh, yeah. And there was a part where I got like super, you know, depressed and bummed out, wondering, okay, like what am I doing wrong? What can I do better? And I remember this is something that I still do to this day. I'll write on a post-it note, like, you know, 2020 is my year, and try to change my way of thinking. Like, don't think negative thoughts, think positive, put the positive energy out there. Cause if you put positive energy out there, you'll get positive things back in return. So during that time was the moment where I learned how to TV produce. So I feel like I'm a sucker for everything happens for a reason. If let's say I did get that job there, I wouldn't have the skill of TV producing, which I love. So you just have to change your way of thinking. Like, don't think the down thoughts of why. Think about, okay, well, what more can you do? And just put that positive energy out there and saying, like, this is going to be a year. This is what it's going to happen.
I like that. And positive energy, you get positive things back in return. I think that's...
Oh, yeah. As if you're just dwelling and being down, like I was in that moment, and it just seemed like I was hitting brick after brick, slammed closed door, all of that stuff. And I had to change my way of like thinking, okay, let's think positive thoughts. And that's why, and I feel like things started changing for me. I may not have known why a certain situation didn't happen, but I started looking at no's as not yet. Like, there wasn't a no, it's just like, not right now, eventually. There's still something that I'm supposed to learn or know, or something that's supposed to happen until that time is ready for me, until that moment is ready.
I like that a lot. No's as not yet. That's a good way.
Not a no, it's just not right now.
And you never know where something's going to lead. And so I think you said something earlier that makes a lot of sense, that you had the name, you knew who you interviewed with, and it was, you were able to follow up. And I know that sometimes we say that to people and they say, well, I know everybody says that, and, you know, I'm sick of just hearing no, but you really do never know where something's going to lead. So keep at it. And I think that mindset, looking at a no is not yet, is that's very powerful. And that's a really good way to change your mindset.
You have to. It's so hard, especially in this business. You get a lot of no's and you start to doubt yourself, and you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good advice in itself, the not doubting yourself, that have confidence in who you are. And kind of goes back to what you were saying about being your authentic self. If you are your authentic self and working hard and putting in the effort and learning and listening and all of these things, good things will come. Again, not to get super woo-woo, but I do believe that's true. It just sometimes things don't come in the time period we want them to, but
which is hard in itself. Like, everyone like wants it done in their time frame and they of when they want it, and that's just not how life works out. Like, nothing comes exactly when you want it. It comes when it's supposed to and when you're ready for it.
There was something a friend said to me several years ago. She was going through a difficult time, and I said, you know, at the end of the day, everything works out as it should. And yep. She said, but as you get older, you find that it doesn't. And I said, I actually disagree. I think everything works out as it should. It may not work out how you want it to in that moment, but it does work out as it should.
Yep.
And I do believe that. I don't believe that if you sit on your couch and just think positive thoughts that things will magically happen. But I think if you are working hard and putting yourself out there and being true to yourself and working towards your goals, then I do believe that that's true.
Definitely. Definitely.
Did you have a mentor throughout your career or anybody that you
did have a mentor? Girl, I had several.
Oh, then share them all. We are not on any sort of time frame throughout all of
several mentors. Gosh, hold on, pregnancy brain. That's another advice that I would give to people. It's in this business, it's all about who you know. So I had a mentor at every station that I worked at, finding those people that want to, you know, teach and give back. If I picked up a vibe that person wanted to like teach you and stuff, I was like white on rice, like following that person around. I want to know everything. Teach me everything that you know about this business. Virginia Kerr was one of them from KMOV. She was an anchor. She was the feature morning reporter, and she turned anchor around the time that I was there. And she was awesome. She gave me so much advice. Gosh, Christine Doyle. There were so many people at that first station at KMOV that just helped me out. Like the list is like so long. Vicki Newton, she was the evening anchor, gave great advice. Larry Connors, he was the evening anchor too. And it's great to have people in this business that want to give back. And if you find those people, then that's just soak up all the knowledge that they give you. At KTVI, I switched stations in St. Louis. There's so many people there. The big one is my news director, Audrey Prierich. She was the news director at KTVI, and that's one that really changed a lot for me, because having a news director believe in you, believe when you say like, hey, if you teach me how to be a TV producer, she's just like, sure. There was a slow day on Fridays where they didn't have enough reporters to go out and do stories. I was like, hey, I can go out and do stories for you guys. Boom. The news director was like, and the executive producer was just like, hey, well, you've done things in the past that you said you could do. So they believed in me. And that was, I think, the biggest change in my career, was just having like certain managers like really, truly believe in you and give you the opportunity. Now, I will say that at that station, the news director was a female, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I love having a woman in charge, because she just gave me a lot of opportunities and believed in me, and I'm very appreciative of that. And NFL Network, Steve Weish is one of the ones that is just Steve amazing. Is I want to be Steve. I want to be like his best friend. Like I'm obsessed with him. Like he's so amazing. Like I can't say enough great things about him. Like he's so cool and calm and just knows his ish. Like he's amazing. And he will always check in on you to make sure everything is okay. And just gives the great advice. And is just always there for you if you need any help with anything.
He is incredible, and I've gotten to know him through covering the 49ers, because he's up at the facility a fair amount. Mm-hmm. And he really is. He will always check in. He's incredibly supportive. Mm-hmm. He's just a fantastic human. I mean, he's fantastic at his job, and he's a fantastic human. And I'm just excited to hear you even say his name, because he's one of my absolute favorites. So.
Yeah. The first time I went to the National Association of Black Journalists, he went for work too. And it was my first time. And I remember him wanting to introduce me to people. And, you know, with Steve Wyche, and I'm still new, and, you know, he's talking to some people that look important. And I remember him after a conversation, him coming to me and being like, yo, like, I need you attached to my hip. Anytime I'm talking to anybody, I need you right there because you don't know like who I'm talking to. And that person was, you know, so and so. And, you know, I could have introduced you. So he was just, he's just that type of guy that is just looking out for the best for you. And I heard him so much.
Yep, I agree. I'm great. I'm excited to just hear you say that because he's fantastic. Well, before we get into five fun facts, which everybody knows is I'm a big fan of fun facts. So before we get into that though, I would love if you could take us through a day in the life. And you can pick if it's a day in the life right now, if it was a day in the life pre-baby, pre-COVID, during COVID, whatever. You know, you want to share, but I think it would be awesome for people to kind of hear what your days look like.
I'm gonna go now just because before I had the kid, before I had my child, before I had him, I knew that being, you know, a parent would be difficult because, you know, everyone talks about it, but you don't know how difficult it is until you're actually in it. It is so much work, and you don't realize like this little human being like needs you for everything. So, like the sleep that you thought you didn't get before you had a kid, I would give anything to have that amount of sleep again. 'Cause he's up like, you know, every 2 hours sometimes, just breastfeeding. Like it's a lot of work. So my day in life right now consists of feeding almost every 2 hours, changing diapers all the time, just, you know, trying to stay in contact with some of your, you know, friends and family because you don't want to get so lost in the child that you forget, you know, yourself. Also reaching out to moms that I know just to get advice, like, how did you do this? How can I do this better? Because it takes a village, and I feel like especially with COVID-19, your village is a lot smaller because everyone has to, you know, stay inside their homes and stuff. Luckily, my mom was able to fly out here and quarantine for, you know, 14 days, and now she's able to help out. But without her, it's just, yeah, it's just you and your husband, and it's a lot of work nonstop, all day long, all night long. But saying all that, it's still the best, the hardest job, but with the best reward.
Well, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. All right, so that brings us to five fun facts, which you probably know this because you've been following me on Twitter for a long time. This started with me doing it with Niners players. But now we ask every guest the same five fun facts at the end of every episode, which has been super cool because we get such different answers to the same questions that it's kind of mind-boggling every week. I'm like, this is great. Everybody has such different experiences and answers. So here we go. So if you are ready, I will just go on down the list.
I am ready.
What is your favorite moment in sports?
My favorite moment in sports actually isn't football related. It's baseball. It's the
Oh,
2000 and
baseball.
what was that? I'm sorry.
I just said, oh, baseball. I
Yes.
miss
Oh
it.
yes. It was the 2011 World Series, Game 6. That was an experience that I feel like changed, even though it was just baseball, it just changed like every sport for me. Because it was like that moment when, you know, David Freese hit that walk-off home run, and you hear Joe Buck say, "We'll see you tomorrow night." Like that moment, thinking that we were going to lose, and then coming out of nowhere and to having a game seven, like, was such an amazing experience. And I was right outside the stadium, field producer for KTVI back then, and for some reason, anytime something good happened, I would be outside of the live truck. So the, you know, engineer and photographer started being like, no, get out of the live truck. Like, we can't have you in here because every time you're out there, something good happens." And it just, it was a great moment, and seeing the fireworks and just how the city went nuts afterwards. Like, it just, at that moment, I was just thinking as we were doing our 10 o'clock newscast, I was like, "Wow, like this is a moment that I'm going to be able to share with my grandkids one day." And then for us to come back in game seven and completely win it all, and our, you know, home kid David Freeze is the MVP. Like, it's just moments like that. Like, I can't wait to, you know, be an old woman in a rocking chair telling my grandkids, now, you know, back in my day, game six. And it's just, yeah, I love that moment.
And it's really, it's an iconic call from Joe Buck. We'll see you tomorrow night. Like, it really is. You can just.
It gives me chills.
Yeah, it gives me chills too. And it's just like, you'll hear, if you hear that call anywhere, if you hear it, if you're just, the TV's on in the background and it's like a highlight, whatever, you know exactly what that is. And that was, it's part of what makes Joe Buck so good.
Oh yeah.
He knows how to call it like that. What is your life motto?
My life motto? I mentioned it a little bit with you. I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. That's my motto. Everything happens for a reason. And in the moment, you may not know why, but eventually you'll know like why things had to be a certain way. Either if it was to teach you a lesson or to make you a better person, just little situations. But I do believe that everything happens for a reason.
What is your go-to workout?
Squats. I'm all about the butt time. I like big butts.
Squats are, I mean, they're such a good workout. I mean, there's nothing better.
I am dying for my doctor to give me permission to work out again. Cause it's like, I've lost some weight just because of breastfeeding and stuff, but I want to like firm up and it's like, nope, 6 weeks, got to wait 6 weeks. So I'm at 4 weeks tomorrow. So it's like, I'm ready to get those squats back in.
You're very close. What is your go-to coffee order?
Go-to coffee order. I am a weird coffee drinker. Because I don't really drink coffee that much. Let's say I want to get something from Starbucks. I'll get like a, you know, a vanilla latte or something like that. I'm just not that big into coffee. But now that I have a kid, I'm thinking about like exploring that big time, getting me a coffee maker at home because it's just, you're constantly tired. So I think maybe in 2020, I become like a full-blown coffee drinker.
I highly recommend the Nespresso.
Ooh, but that's the thing though. Since I'm not that big on coffee, the little bit that I get will have me like, pew! So is it espresso? Is that a lot of caffeine in it? Cause I might have to work my way into that, like baby steps.
The Nespresso, they have different pods and the pods can have different levels of caffeine.
Okay.
So I'm like a caffeine fiend. So I go for like the more caffeine, the better, but there are different like roasts and levels. So you can explore and find which one is right for you.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I can't have the highest one. That would not. They have
a vanilla and like hazelnut flavors. Those are my favorites. And they're like a little less caffeine and those are also delicious. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Normally I'm a tea girl, but tea's not enough right now. I need more than some tea.
That's totally fair. And then our last one is a book every woman should read.
I would say Becoming by Michelle Obama. I liked that a lot because one, I feel like it goes into just as a woman finding your path and your career and stuff, and also transitioning into, you know, having kids and stuff and wondering if you can still do it all. I would recommend that. That one I liked a lot because it kind of was similar with little things that I was going through. I could see in the way that she was telling her story and describing situations.
Fantastic. Lakeisha, thank you so much. And thank you, Link, for letting us borrow your mom for a little while. I think it's important to give him a thank you as well. But thank you so much for joining me today. It was just wonderful to get to talk to you after, you know, following you on Twitter for so long. And it's funny with Twitter because you feel like you're Twitter friends with people.
Yes, I was just getting ready to say this. Like, I feel like I know you, but I don't really. So now I can say that I really do know you. So that's awesome.
Yes, I feel the same. So it was really fantastic to talk to you. And if you guys like what you heard, which I'm sure you did, please make sure to leave us a review on iTunes and also follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. And I will talk to everybody next week. Lakeisha, have a wonderful rest of your day and week.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.